field theories for non-foamy liquids. In particular, the story that I'm going to tell you today is based on this paper done in collaboration with Francisco Burgess, who is in the building, and Anton Borisov, who is a PhD student at McMaster, and Ashu Singh, a former postdoc who is now at Texas A&M, and Andres Schrift, who is a former student. So the talk is about metals, and we know in foamy liquids, although interactions can be fairly strong, excitations created close to the foamy surface have a long lifetime. And if you look at the spectral function as a function of frequency, they support a sharp quasi-particle peak near the foamy surface. And because of that, a lot of physical observables can be derived from essentially from single particle pictures. However, there are unconventional metallic states, what we call non-foamy liquids, where this is not the case. And they often arise near quantum critical points. So as you tune some non-thermal parameters of the theory or system, if there's a second order phase transition at the quantum critical point, you have some gapless collecting mode associated with the order parameter that become long-range ordered on the ordered side. And if the coupling between the collective mode and the electronic degrees freedom becomes strong enough, that can destroy the coherence of the quasi-particle, leading to non-foamy liquids. And there have been a lot of progress on this field. However, there are still many outstanding experimental theoretical questions. Theoretically, usually, in the layered compound 2 plus 1D, the theory is formulated in terms of strongly coupled field theories, and we don't have a general systematic way of solving those strongly coupled field theory. There have been a lot of recent progresses in this area where you devise some non-perturbative tools, but often those tools are specific to specific theories. And more recently, there have been some developments where you can use anomaly to derive some non-perturbative constraints. And there are Monte Carlo simulation. However, on the theoretical side, sometimes you cannot understand the system within a so-called patch theory, and you have to generalize your theoretical frameworks to include the older gapless mode across the entire foamy surface. So, I'm going to address these two questions using a particular example of non-foamy liquid. I think I can do this, yeah. Right? Yeah. So using the example of the non-foamy liquid state that arises at the anti-ferromagnetic quantum critical point. So suppose I have a 2 plus 1-dimensional metal with, say, C4 symmetry. And as you tune some microscopic coupling, imagine that system undergoes a second order phase transition into a collinear anti-ferromagnetic state. In the ordered state, the long-range magnetic order breaks the translational symmetry, and therefore Brillouin zone is folded, creating some gap at the zone boundary. And we are interested in the nature of the metallic state that arises at the quantum critical point. So at the critical point, the spin fluctuation with the wave vector associated with this magnetic ordering pattern become gapless, and they become zero energy when the collective mode carries this momentum, say pi pi. And as a result, this spin fluctuation can scatter electrons from one part of the Fermi surface to another part of the Fermi surface. And in particular, there exists a set of hotspots that on the Fermi surface that are connected by that magnetic ordering vector. And those electrons that are at the hotspots are the one that can, say, absorb those gapless spin fluctuation and scatter from the Fermi surface to the Fermi surface. So they are, therefore, they are the one that remains most strongly coupled in the low energy limit. So therefore, people have first studied so-called hotspot theory to understand this system. And that's a particular example of patch theory, where you include only a small portion of the Fermi surface. So the hotspot theory for this anti-ferromagnetic quantum critical point comprises of the electronic degrees of freedom that are residing near those hotspots connected by the ordering vector and the spin fluctuation. So here I have written down the action of the hotspot theory. Here N labels, say, 8 hotspots around the Fermi surface, and sigma is the spin. Consider NC equal 2 for SU to spin, and J is the flavor, just consider NF equal 1 for physical example. And this is the electron field at hotspot N, spin sigma with flavor J. And then this is the frequency. And here, this is the energy of the electron at hotspot N, where this little k is the momentum measured with respect to each hotspot. And because in the hotspot theory, we only care about the electrons near the hotspot, we often linearize this dispersion and keep only linear part. So here, the Fermi velocity of the electron, say here at hotspot 1, is the red arrow. And you can decompose that Fermi velocity into the component that is parallel to this anti-ferromagnetic ordering vector. And that you can always set to be 1 by choosing your scaling of the momentum. And then this Fermi velocity that is perpendicular to the Q vector is denoted as V, and we sometimes call it nesting angle, because if V was 0, then this pair of hotspots connected by the Q vector become parallel to each other. But in general, those nesting angle is non-zero. And then the second line here is the kinetic term of the spin fluctuation. So for SU2, there are 3 generators, and there are 3 components of the collective mode. And in anti-ferromagnetic, it has a G equal 1 scaling. And here, C0 is the speed of the spin fluctuation, which is in general different from 1 or V. So this is another independent parameter of the theory. And then we have the coupling between electrons and the spin fluctuation, where, say, if I have an electron at one of the hotspot N bar, it can absorb spin fluctuation to scatter it into another hotspot while preserving the energy and momentum. And under the scaling in which this kinetic term of the fermion and boson is invariant, this so-called Yukawa coupling is relevant. So under the RG flow, it becomes large. So therefore, we have to deal with the strongly coupled field theory in the low energy limit. Note that here I haven't included the 4 fermion coupling because under that scaling that leaves the kinetic term invariant, the 4 fermion coupling is irrelevant. So in the hotspot theory, this is the minimal theory. Although the theory flows to the strong coupling limit in the low energy limit, it turns out that theory is solvable when the nesting angle is small. So in the small nesting angle limit, it turns out that all the quantum correction that survive can be summarized in this Swinger-Dyson equation. And then the corrections, quantum corrections that are non-zero for non-zero but small nesting angle limit can be added, included perturbatively in powers of nesting angle. So you can organize your quantum correction not in terms of the original coupling, but in terms of some velocity in the problem. And in this small nesting angle expansion, it turns out that the nesting angle itself flows under the RG flow, and it becomes smaller and smaller as you go to low energy. So therefore, in the low energy limit, this expansion becomes asymptotically exact. Okay, according to this patch theory, the theory flows to an infrared fixed point with a zero nesting angle in the low energy limit. However, this prediction is not quite correct, because the true ground state of the theory is actually superconducting state, and the non-firm liquid state is unstable. And the thing that the patch theory misses is the four fermion coupling. As I mentioned, the four fermion coupling has a negative scaling dimension. So naively, we would say it's irrelevant, so it's not important in the IR. However, in the presence of Fermi surface, whether a particular coupling is important or not is not just determined by scaling dimension. And although four fermion coupling has a negative scaling dimension, it gives rise to IR singularities, and therefore it should be included in the theory. So this is one place where the patch theory is not sufficient. In particular, in the presence of strong superconducting fluctuation, fermions can be scattered across the whole Fermi surface. So you need a low energy effective theory that includes all the fermions on the Fermi surface on the equal footing. Okay? So that's what we want to do. So we want to go beyond the patch theory by including all the gapless modes around the Fermi surface. And by doing so, the coupling constant that had been obtained by expanding the dispersion and Fermi velocity or coupling around the hotspot has to be promoted to functions of momentum along the Fermi surface. So to understand the theories with the coupling function, what is required is some kind of functional renormalization group formalism. And there exists the exact functional RG formulation due to Wetterich and Polchinski. That describes the flow of exact vortex function as function of some energy scale. However, it is often very hard to solve those exact RG equation in a controlled way. Fortunately, we don't have to solve the exact RG equation to understand the universal low energy properties, because the low energy modes reside near the Fermi surface, which is whose dimension is lower than the full space dimension. So therefore, one can throw away a lot of UV information and keep only the universe information near the Fermi surface, but still not throwing away information along the Fermi surface. So we need some kind of field theoretic functional RG formalism. So that's the goal. So in relativistic field theory, to understand low energy physics, we often consider renormalizable field theories. So those theories are the minimal theory that captures the same universal property within same low energy property within one universality class. Right? Different theory can differ by some irrelevant operators, but the renormalizable theory includes only marginal and relevant operators and still captures the same IR physics. And we want to do the same thing for theories with the Fermi surface. And the usual definition of renormalizable theory that includes only marginal and relevant operators doesn't work in terms of scaling dimension for the reason that I mentioned. Say, four fermion coupling, although has a negative scaling dimension, should be included within the minimal theory. So the theory that you have to deal with is the minimal theory where you include coupling or coupling functions in terms of which all the low energy observables can be expressed in terms of those coupling functions with errors that vanishes as a power law in energy, okay? So that's the more general definition of renormalizable theory. So you want to construct a theory which include a minimal set of operators whose coupling is sufficient big enough to express all low energy observables with errors that goes to zero in powers of energy. Yes, that's our definition, more general definition of renormalizable field theory. And in the presence of Fermi surface, such renormalizable field theory should include a four fermion coupling, although it has a negative scaling dimension. So the reason why the four fermion couplings remain important is because of scale associated with the Fermi momentum. Okay, so KF is a large momentum scale, but it's not a high energy scale. Okay, but KF controls the volume of the low energy phase space. And some scattering processes are enhanced by some powers of KF. For example, suppose we consider an operator which is renormalized by four fermion coupling. And suppose external momentum is chosen such that its center of mass momentum is zero here. And then this four fermion coupling can scatter these pairs of electrons with zero center of mass momentum to another pair with zero center of mass momentum. And then there's not much energetic penalty for creating this fermionic excitation far away from the original momentum. As a result, the integration of momentum along the Fermi surface acts like a volume, okay? And as a result, effectively what enters in the IR quantum correction is the combination of the four fermion coupling with the phase space volume, not just the four fermion coupling. That's why, although this may have a negative scaling dimension, this combination may have a zero or positive scaling dimension, giving rise to IR singularity. So therefore, the full low energy effective theory must include a four fermion coupling here, and it is the coupling function. So it describes the scattering where electron in hotspot N4, N3 with spin sigma 4, sigma 3 with this momentum scatter into this outgoing hotspot spin and momentum. So it's a complicated coupling function. And also, other couplings in the hotspot series are promoted to coupling function. So here VF is a Fermi velocity along the direction of the Q vector. And initially in the hotspot theory, I was able to set it to be one by scaling the momentum. However, I cannot do it globally. So even if I can set it to be one at the hotspot, away from the hotspot, the Fermi velocity doesn't have to be one. So you need a coupling Fermi velocity function, which is a function of momentum along the Fermi surface. Also, this little v, the nesting angle, that determines the local orientation of the Fermi surface relative to the Q vector, is also a function of momentum. And with the general VF and little v, you can describe general shape of the Fermi surface with general Fermi velocity along the Fermi surface. And also, the Yukawa coupling is a function of momentum along the Fermi surface. So ultimately, the goal is to characterize the space of low energy fixed point in the space of these coupling functions and understand the universal low energy properties associated with a fixed point. Okay? For example, this is a schematic diagram. So this is the axis of the Fermi velocities. So if you don't have any coupling, in this axis, of course, you have a free Fermi gas. So you have a function worth of a fixed point associated with a free Fermi gas. And if you turn on the short-range four fermion coupling, then we know there's a Fermi liquid fixed point. But in the presence of some attractive interaction in the pairing channel, those foamy liquid fixed points become unstable due to logarithmic flow of this coupling toward the superconducting state. Now, if you turn on the Yukawa coupling function, then also there's a very rapid flow away from this plane of foamy liquid fixed point because this is strictly relevant. And then presumably it flows toward some manifold of non-foamy liquid fixed points. And then if the non-foamy liquid fixed point is also unstable toward the superconducting state, then eventually the algae flow will go toward some superconducting state. But the goal is to understand the manifolds of this non-foamy liquid fixed point and properties of the flow near those fixed points. So, in the theory for the anti-ferromagnetic quantum critical point, you can compute the beta functionals of the older coupling function in a controlled manner in the limit that the nesting angle is small. You can use the small nesting angle as a control parameter, and you can reach some non-perturbative quantum correction using some Schrödinger-Dyson equation, and then compute the beta functional. The full beta functional is rather long, so let me just show one of them. This is the flow equation of the four fermion coupling function in the pairing channel. So L is the logarithmic length scale, so as L increases, you go to low energy. And lambda is the four fermion coupling function, and here incoming momentum of electron is kn minus k, residing near hotspot 1 and 5. So hotspot 1 and 5 are the ones that are antipodal to each other. So this coupling describes the scattering from 1,5 patch to 1,5 patch with a momentum k to p. Okay, that's the left-hand side. And here, this is the beta function. So minus 1 represents the fact that it is it has scaling dimension minus 1 at the tree level. So it's and then this z is the dynamical critical exponent that determines how frequency or time has to be rescaled with respect to the space, and that modifies the scaling dimension of the coupling. And eta p and eta k, they are momentum-dependent anomalous dimension of the fermion. So now there's no rotation symmetry on the fermion surface, so therefore fermion can acquire anomalous dimension that depends on momentum along the fermion surface. So depending on how far an electron is away from the hotspot, their anomalous dimension is different. So here, this is the expression whose anomalous dimension of electron depends on the strength of the Yukawa coupling and the Fermi velocity and the momentum away from the Fermi surface measured in the unit of some UV cutoff, okay? And then this derivative with respect to momentum, this represents the fact that under the coarse grain, under the renormalization group, the momentum along the Fermi surface has to be rescaled, right, to keep the invariance of the dynamics. And as a result, coupling functions are dilated in the momentum space under the RG flow. Okay? And then here the second line represents the mixing of the four fermion coupling in different channels. Okay, so here this is the four fermion coupling in the where electron in the 1,5 hotspot scatter into 4,8 hotspot, okay? And then this coupling mixes with 1,5,1,5 coupling through the exchange of the spin fluctuation, okay? And then this is the mixing matrix. Mixing matrix is a function of not only of the spin, but also it's a function of momentum. Okay, here the momentum along the Fermi surface acts like some continuous flavor that controls the strength of mixing between different operators defined along the Fermi surface. And this third line.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So could you clarify which degrees of freedom are really included on the Fermi surface? Here, you are still talking about the past part, right?
Okay, sorry.
So
yeah,
then
so
when you're talking about general momentum.
Okay, thank you.
Along which direction?
Yeah, okay. So I should have mentioned that. Thank you for the question. So here in the theory, I break the whole Fermi surface into 8 finite segments. So I have a finite segments that includes a hotspot 1.
Okay.
But now the range of momentum around the hotspot is not small. It's order of kf. Okay? So then I have 8 hotspots that I can divide the whole Fermi surface into 8 districts. Okay? And each big patch, I don't want to call it patch, it's a big segment. There's some upper cutoff for momentum that is order of kf. That's right. And then here in this theory, so for each, I still use n as a label for each sector. And then and I can still label the electronic degrees of freedom in terms of n and k that runs within the sector. But the point is, the key difference from the hotspot theory, this momentum is not small anymore. It can be as big as the 1/8 of kf, for example. Okay, and then here, this term in the beta, the details are not important, but this term is the contribution of the Yukawa coupling that generate the four-forming coupling. Even if you don't turn on the four-forming coupling in the beginning, they are generated through the spin fluctuation, okay? And then there's a usual BCS process where Cooper pair can mix with each other through the second order processes of the scattering, okay? And here, physically, what is important is that this anomalous dimension of the fermion tend to suppress the superconductivity because electrons become incoherent. So scaling dimension of the four-forming coupling become more negative due to the anomalous dimension. Physically, that means the incoherence cause a pair breaking effect. Whereas the interaction generated by the, on the other hand, the same spin fluctuation provides the attractive interaction glue for the Cooper pair. So there's a competing between pair forming and pair breaking effect of the same spin fluctuation. So we would like to understand the outcome of this, interplay. So here is the summary of the RG flow, functional RG flow. So because the main action happens for the nesting angle and for fermion coupling, let's focus on the space of coupling function for the nesting angle V and the for fermion coupling. Okay, so here, rear part of the for fermion coupling, this is the Hermitian theory where the coupling is rear. So this blue plane represent the space of Hermitian theory. But here, I consider the imaginary component as well because although our theory is Hermitian, it's useful to enlarge the space of theory to look at the global structure of RG flow. Now, in the space of coupling function, there is a fixed point at which the nesting angle vanishes, and the ratio between Yukawa coupling to the nesting angle is order of 1. And the anomalous dimension of the boson is 1. And this anomalous dimension is exact, and dynamical critical exponent is 1, okay? So this is the fixed point that has been identified by the earlier non-perturbative solution of the hotspot theory. So that is here. So there's a zero nesting angle and zero Yukawa coupling, but the ratio is order of 1. It's a rather weird fixed point.
So in this case, momentum, sorry, originally the anomalous dimension could depend on the momentum.
So here fermion doesn't have anomalous dimension at all, at the fixed point.
Okay, so fermion doesn't have anomalous
dimension. Yeah, right, yeah. At the fixed point. And then boson has a anomalous dimension 1. Of course, boson is just a only one gapless bosonic mode, so anomalous dimension is just constant number. Okay, I want to emphasize this is a non-perturbative fixed point. This is not something you cannot access perturbatively. Now, if you have a UV theory that where the nesting angle is non-zero. If your UV theory is somewhere here in the blue plane, now two things happen. First, the nesting angle itself gets renormalized to a smaller value under the RG flow. So it tends to decrease under the RG flow. However, much faster RG flow is in the four-fermion coupling channel. So four-fermion coupling actually grows to a negative value much faster than the flow of the nesting angle. So before four-fermion coupling flows any significantly, the four-fermion coupling becomes large and negative. So therefore, for the purpose of understanding the that flow, it's a good approximation to pretend that the nesting angle doesn't flow, and then look at the RG flow in the subspace of four-fermion coupling with fixed nesting angle. Okay? Of course, even that space is infinite dimensional space of coupling function, so it's rather complicated. But one thing one can do to visualize that RG flow is to project your infinite dimensional RG flow into some finite dimensional subspace. So this is a space of coupling function, and suppose this blue arrow is exact RG flow direction, but you can choose some subspace that you want to monitor your RG flow, and you can look at the shadow of the exact RG flow within the subspace. Okay, so you can view it as a shadow RG flow. Of course, the pattern of RG flow will depend on which plane you choose to project your RG flow onto. Okay, here, for example, I have chosen the I can choose the plane where the Cooper-Peier wave function has some particular momentum profile with a lower momentum cutoff from the hotspot and the large momentum cutoff. Okay, so this epsilon and delta is some parameter that I can choose for my channel. Okay, and here is the projected RG flow, and this is the real part of the coupling in some channel, and this is the imaginary part of the coupling. So Hermitian theory lies on this real axis. And then as you can see, the fixed point is in the away from the real axis. So the fixed point is the non-Hermitian fixed point. And that means if your UV theory, of course, is here, it's a real Hermitian theory, then the real theory flows, has a runaway flow toward the large and negative coupling. And then, but if you look at the slice with a smaller and smaller nesting angle as you go from left upper and right lower panel, then this non-Hermitian fixed point become closer and closer to the rear axis, okay? So that is represented by this figure. So here, this red line represent one parameter families of non-Hermitian fixed point. Okay, so if you choose a fixed nesting angle V, then in the complex plane of the four-fermion coupling, there exists a non-Hermitian fixed point related to each other by Hermitian conjugate. And then as the nesting angle becomes smaller and smaller, those non-Hermitian fixed point become closer and closer to the rear axis. Okay? So that is shown here. So what is interesting is that for theories with a small nesting angle, although there's no rear fixed point, this complex fixed point becomes very close to the rear axis. So there's a region with a constricted RG flow. So if your UV theory is on this side of the RG flow, then your theory must go through this regional bottleneck. And your theory stays a long length scale in this region, and that's where the universality of some normal state property arises. Okay? But if your UV theory is on the wrong side of the coupling here, on the negative side initially, then the RG flow at lower energy has nothing to do with a non-fermi liquid fixed point. Another interesting point is that, as I mentioned, the projected RG flow depends on the plane onto which you project your coupling. And you can choose a different weight For example, I can tune epsilon to change the weight of the electrons that are near the hotspot. Okay? And as you go to the left here, I'm increasing the weight of the hot electrons near the hotspot, thereby increasing the contribution of electron with a large anomalous dimension. And indeed, if I include too much hot electrons, then the complex fixed point actually come back to the rear axis and they are on the rear axis. That means there's no longer a runaway flow in that channel. Okay, so physically this represents the fact that hot electrons, although they are subject to strong attractive interaction, they are very incoherent. And as a result, they are not very susceptible to pairing instability. Okay? So it is the electrons that are rather far away from the hotspot that become most unstable. They are warm enough to be to receive some attractive glue from the spin fluctuation, but they have to be coherent to become unstable. Okay.
So what is this little t?
Oh, little. This is just the magnitude of the coupling function along that particular channel. Okay. And then here, these three different figures represent for different channels. So here, as I move from right to left, I make the epsilon, the lower cutoff of the pairing wave function, smaller and smaller. So, and then, so it's like a Cooper pair flow, the flow of the four fermion coupling in different channel. And then on the left panel, it includes a large weight of the hot electron. And in that channel, there's no instability. That's right. So around the complex fixed point, there's a limit cycle.
Does that have like the other
context
where
I've seen that? Yeah, there is. You expect some kind of discrete scale invariance if your theories are tuned away from the non-Hermitian fixed point. However, you know, we cannot physically reach there, at least within this closed Hermitian theory. What is interesting is the fact that this non-Hermitian fixed point become very close to the rear axis. So therefore, they actually control the flow on the rear axis in the small nesting angle limit.
So in the previous slide, the fixed point comes to the rear axis.
Yeah, that's right. So that the red line is the non-Hermitian fixed point that become closer and closer to each other as V decreases. And they merge at the origin. That is the true fixed point. But this true fixed point is a fine-tuned fixed point in the sense that you have to fine-tune your nesting angle. If you don't fine-tune, if your nesting angle is non-zero initially, then the theory will flow to superconducting state. And as I mentioned, if your UV theory is on the repulsive side of the four fermion coupling, then it must go through this bottleneck region. And then the TC is controlled by how much scale the theory spans around that bottleneck region. Okay? And then smaller the initial nesting angle is, the bigger the constriction is, so longer RG time is spent. So therefore, lower the TC is. So the TC dependent on the bare nesting angle V in that exponential of square root of square root form.
The correlation is also divergence like exponentially with the small velocity around that.
Correlation length of?
The fluctuation.
That's always infinite. We are at the critical point.
No, when V is finite.
Even when V is finite, the spin fluctuation has an infinite correlation length.
But when your fixed point is like the complex the
even there, spin fluctuation is still gapless. Yeah, because we already tuned the mass of the spin fluctuation to zero to be at the critical point.
I would have thought that when you when you make two complex fixed points approach each other,
yeah,
then the correlation length becomes longer and longer.
So not the correlation length of the spin fluctuation, because spin fluctuation has been tuned to criticality already by tuning the bare mass of the boson. So what is but there is some scale associated with approaching this fixed point, and that is related to TC. It controls how long it takes for the theory to escape this bottleneck region. That's the diverging length scale. And then, 2 minutes. Yeah. And then the most unstable channel is the spin singlet D wave channel, as expected. However, this function RG allows us to actually uncover the specific momentum dependence of the most unstable pairing wave function. Okay. So D wave only tells you about how the sign of the wave function changes under discrete rotation. But within each patch, within each sector, you have some universal profile of the pairing wave function. And here I'm plotting the imaginary part of the Green's function as a function of momentum and frequency. And this color represents the exponent with which the imaginary part of Green's function scales with the frequency. Okay, so blue region means the imaginary part of Green's function scales as omega square, as in foam liquid. And red or white region represent the exponent 1, where it's a non-foam liquid-like behavior. And there's a crossover as a function of momentum and the frequency. So k equals 0 represents the hotspot. If you are right at the hotspot, that electron exhibits non-foam liquid behavior at all energy scale. Okay? But if you are a little bit away from the hotspot, and then at high energy, the electron is incoherent. But as you go lower and lower in energy, eventually that electron decouples from the spin fluctuation and become cold and exhibit foam liquid like behavior. And you have this critical fan-like structure in the space of momentum and the frequency. And this dashed line represents the TC for this particular choice of the nesting angle. But as you make the nesting angle smaller, the TC becomes smaller, and you expect to have a larger window of non-foam liquid behavior. Okay, I will skip this. So let me just wrap up by saying that in general, to understand the full low energy property of matter, you need the low energy effective theory that goes beyond the patch theory. And you have to include all gapless mode on the equal footing. And the Renu-Maharajabi field theory for those theories with infinitely many degrees freedom should include all operators that can give rise to IR singularities, even if those operators may seem irrelevant. This scheme itself can be general. However, you still have to solve the strong coupling problem. Okay, but in this example of anti-ferromagnetic quantum critical matter, you are able to solve it using the fact that you can use the small nesting angle as a control parameter. And there's an interesting interplay between non-foam liquid physics and superconductivity that you can understand quantitatively in using this functional RG formalism. Okay, thank you for your attention.
Questions? So you have said you consider the segments like including the hotspots, but are all the segments cover the whole Fermi surface?
Right, you choose the segments such that union, they are disjoint, and union of them cover the whole Fermi surface.
Can I just consider the whole Fermi surface, like four Fermi surface by different angles?
You can do that, yeah. Okay. It's just a matter of representation.
Okay.
Is the only ingredient here the nesting near the hotspot is small?
that's used to approach the non-perturbative fixed point in a controlled way. And if your bare nesting angle is initially large, then you cannot use this for this theory.
Is it important that this is anti-ferromagnetic? With some other density we've ordering, does it matter?
Whether this small nesting angle expansion?
The whole approach, the whole, also the results, meaning what implications do these results have on other density wave transfer?
So I would say there are two results. One is the general formulation of the function, field theory function RG. That part is general. And using certain parameter to solve the problem is specific to specific theories. So different theories may require new techniques for approaching the fixed point in a controlled manner. So that part is not general. But the formalism itself is general.
We expect the charge density will.
I think it will be different. So here, the non-abelian nature of the bosonic mode was very important. If it was not non-abelian, then it would has a very different structure.
Sorry, I just missed, what's the relationship between your lambda and like the vertex correction? Like, have you averaged over frequency or is it at frequency zero?
Lambda,
how did you get a constant?
Lambda is the vertex function. Lambda is a function of k, and also the length scale l, right?
Okay.
And then that lambda represents the irreducible four-point vertex function measured as a function of external momentum at certain energy scale.
Okay, okay.
So you basically solve how the vertex function changes as a function of energy for each momentum.
Okay, okay, thank you.
So the four fermion coupling is irrelevant by power counting. So what's the difference between that and like a four fermion interaction induced by two Yukawa scatterings? Like
that four fermion coupling.
Like if there would be sort of an indirect four fermion coupling induced by two Yukawa scatterings, right? So but what's the difference between like that? You know, the direct four fermion coupling is irrelevant.
So but there are as a so so in the action you have to have only local operators. And then four fermion coupling that are local are allowed within the theory. Okay, and then the if you naively integrate out the boson, and that also give rise to some four fermion coupling, but that is non-local. So, but the if you integrate out some high energy bosonic mode, right, that renormalize the local four fermion coupling. So as a local operator, the Yukawa operator and four fermion coupling operators are independent operators. They are separate operators. But they mix with each other. The Yukawa coupling renormalizes the four fermion coupling and vice versa.
Do we have any more questions? Like we don't have any more questions, so thanks to Sungsik again. Next on the schedule.